I found myself a bit emotional this morning as we were worshiping. 31 years ago today, I surrendered my life to the ministry. Brother Ron Simpson reminded me of that. He was there laughing at me as I tried to hobble up to the front of the auditorium at church camp because I'd sprained my ankle that day playing volleyball. But 31 years, I thank God for all of those years. But as we were singing this morning, my mind went back 2 years ago today, or 2 years ago this week, as we were celebrating the life of Miss Darlene Carey at her home place in Michigan. And the song that we just sang became her favorite song in the last 6 months to a year of her life. Verse 4 says, "With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. This I know, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When my race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but Christ in me." I'm so very thankful for her example and her influence in our lives. And I can't think of Darlene without thinking of the Philippines and the work that she did there. And lo and behold, as it turned out, we thought we had a different plan today, but God brought us a Filipino missionary to come speak to us. Many months ago, I contacted Brother Filomeno Kakilala to come and speak to us today. And I knew that I would be getting back from SOAR and I would be tired. Amen, kiddos? I mean, we were zonked when we got home. And I thought that would be a perfect time to have Brother Phil come. And so then I contacted him a couple months ago and got no response. And contacted him again and got a response that made it seem like he wasn't coming. Well, as it turns out, I was contacting his phone from when they were missionaries in Hawaii, and he no longer has that number, but somebody does, and they told me they wouldn't be here. And so yesterday, Brother Phil contacted me, and he said, "We're here at the hotel. What time service start?" And I said, "Okay, Lord, this is your plan, not mine, and I'm very thankful that Brother Phil is here and is going to share with us about the work that they're doing. It's different than what it was before, but he will share more about that. Brother Phil is a native Filipino. He came here many years ago. What year was it, Brother Phil?
When Brother Ron was the pastor.
Well, no, I mean when you came to go to seminary.
Oh, 1980.
1980. He came from the Philippines to attend the same seminary that I did, and he fell in love with this lady named Lisa, and they have four beautiful children. Well, three beautiful ones and one handsome one, right? Okay. And God has blessed their lives. He came out of the work that Joanna's uncle started there in the Philippines, and so we're blessed to have him here today. He was here 6 years ago, you may remember, and Brother Phil did not remember that, but it may be because we've remodeled the auditorium and the foyer and everything else, and so he walked in and it didn't look the same. So maybe that's it. But Brother Phil, thank you for being here. Come and share with us about the ministry and share with us from God's word.
Thank you.
God bless you, brother.
Aloha. I can hear myself. Sometimes when you say aloha, you're supposed to respond back, but I heard myself responding to my greeting. And mabuhay. Those are greetings from the mission fields where we serve as missionaries. And I'm actually wearing my preaching shirt. This is not my pajama top. And in Hawaii, I wear, instead of a tie, I wear this lei. And I wore this for many years, even in Micronesia or Samoa, where I would preach there while we were in the Pacific. But anyway, we would like to bestow an appreciation for the hospitality of this church. And so a fusion of a lei, which is, the Philippines is the pearl of the Orient. And so instead of a flower lei, we're going to give a pearl lei to a representative of your church to say thank you for your hospitality. And so Lisa, my wife, is going to bestow this to Miss Joanna. Don't go to a pawn shop because they would not take it. Thank you so much. Mahalo and salamat po. Well, anyway, the picture you see, right here. This is how the people remembered us when we started our work in the Philippines, because we were hopping from one island to the next, trying to figure out where the Lord may want us to settle down and establish our residence. And so, my wife would do errands for us. It took us a while to be able to get a car. And so we would walk everywhere with shopping bags, and she walks faster. Even today, she would walk faster than me on a regular day. And I can hear, they have not figured out that I'm her husband. And so I can understand, why is this rich American walking? Where is her husband? And so I said, okay, I'm gonna solve that. So I bought her a Cadillac of a shopping cart right there. And so we were ready to fill our baskets, and this runs about 15 miles per hour. And I'm her GPS. Barking instructions, and she would not follow my instructions, and so I would press on her waist around, and we were a spectacle. And so, and people remember this. Now, this actually is our saving grace, because there was a problem brewing in the background, which could have, we could have landed in bigger legal problems, but because of this, it really saved us. So try to remember this imagery. Anyway, my presentation today will transition into a message, and so we will also, at the end of the reading of the scriptures, we would be opening in prayer. So may I request you, if you're able, to stand with me as I read from the Word of God, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. It reads, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, for the multitude of fishes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you. We pray that the name of Jesus be lifted up throughout all the churches, not only in this country, but around the world, as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord on this first day of the week, but also, Lord, because he lives in our hearts. May you bring healing to our land and people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I would like to personalize my presentation today with how I came to know the Lord. And it is because the Baptist Missionary Association sent the first missionaries to the Philippines. Their names were Travis and Karen Moore. She was expecting this baby when she boarded the plane. Can you imagine giving birth to a strange land where she's a complete stranger? She's a brave woman. She's becoming more of a legend now. You know how people, when they pass away, just like Martha Johnson in Mexico, some of you may have known her, and they become more and more of a legend, and she's becoming like that because she truly invested not only in my life, but in the lives of many people alongside with her husband. So anyway, Travis and Karen Moore, of all the 7,000, the new count now is 7,741, they discover more islands. They landed on my island of Negros and planted the first BMA church in my neighborhood. Of the many houses in the city, they knock on our door. Well, initially, they welcomed, you know, what you call the etiquette of welcoming a someone, especially an American. But when the missionary started witnessing with the gospel, my mother kicked him out of the house, saying, "You're not allowed to proselytize, to converticize, that's not even a word, anyone of my family." Well, not knowing that my father got saved and was baptized without her knowledge. But I said, just like my mother, I don't need it. Back then, I lived dangerously. I wrecked my bike the first day I got it. Not because I'm a daredevil, but because I'm just a clutch. I'm so clumsy. And I also drowned. And after that drowning, I realized I needed to get saved. Because I remember when I was becoming unconscious in the water, that I was not going to heaven. And so my professor, it was a college outing, administered CPR. It took me a while actually to recover because I was, you know how they brine the pickles. I was pickled in salt water. It took me a while to get over. But my sister, who got saved through the ministry of Travis Moore and Karen Moore, told me about the most beautiful verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I got saved. Well, the Lord called me to preach, and I pastored the BMA church that Travis Moore planted on the city of Talisay. Well, because I'm also an American citizen, my father was a U.S. Army veteran during World War II in Okinawa, Japan. And so I joined him in California and also got more seminary training. And that's when I met my wife on the West Coast, because we live on the West Coast at that time too. So during our wedding, July 23rd, 1988, so, you know, it's going to be 33 years, I think, in just a few days, I remembered. We presented ourselves to be the next missionaries to the Philippines. Well, when we applied, they said no. There's already a lot of American missionaries in the Philippines, and, you know, it's already full. I said, okay. Well, if you see during our reception, there's a map of the world where Lisa pinned a ribbon from Oregon where we got married to the Philippines, because we were gonna go there, but it didn't happen. But you know that ribbon draped over the Pacific on top of the Hawaiian Islands. It's not because of the ribbon that I applied as a missionary to the Philippines, but later on I did apply. If I can't go to the Philippines, you know, there's a ton of Filipinos in Hawaii. The number one ethnic group in Hawaii are no longer Japanese. They are Filipinos. And so I applied, and they said, "Brother Kakilala, we have sent missionaries there before, and we have not planted a single church there. What makes you think we were going to send you?" Well, you know, I got chips on my shoulder. I said, "I'm going to be rejected again." I was rejected as a single man. I was rejected as a married man. Now that I have kids, they're going to reject me again. I'm going to argue this out. I thought they're going to deny me because I was really on a fighting mood. But anyway, they said, "Brother Kakilala, I think we're going to recommend you during the national meeting to be our next missionary to Hawaii. It's by God's grace that on 2005, we went to the islands of Hawaii. Well, Lisa and I don't like the beach because we don't like the sand. We like it from a distance. But we ended up in Hawaii. And so on the island of Oahu, in Ebba Beach, my kids became our church planting team. My daughter, who graduated and found a husband at Central Baptist College, even joined us with two of their kids on Oahu. Well, this is an updated picture of our family. You know how our children went to CBC and they liked the place, they did not move out. And so they're all at CBC, and my youngest daughter is at UCA, also in Conway, and so this is in Conway. And we have four grand girls, one grand boy who was due last Tuesday. He better come out anytime now. And one grand dog. Anyway, by God's grace, it's not anything I have done. I promise you, nothing, no charisma, no talent, but God's grace, we planted Ali'i Baptist Church. Ali'i meaning royalty. We're children of the king. This is when we organize on that Sunday. We also organize in the next town of Waipahu, Nakoa Baptist Church. Nakoa meaning the strong. For the promise of the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, in 2015, we went to the Philippines in 2016, but they were sending missionaries back to the Philippines, and I said, hey, don't forget me. I should be on the top of the line. I want to transfer. They could not deny me then, so in 2016, we moved to the Philippines. Lisa and I and our youngest daughter, who was still single, well, she was 14 or 13 at that time, maybe 14. And so, you know, missions is a gift that keeps on giving. When we were in Hawaii, our members there were asking, do we have Baptist churches, especially BMA churches, where we came from on the northern tip of the Philippines? And I said, well, good question. We actually don't have. And they said, why not? The BMA has been in the Philippines for close to 50 years, and we have not had any BMA church. And so I got the list of their relatives, and so Lisa and I and Justine went up there, and they became our church planting, seed group. And so the BMMI has even been there twice already, and people are being harvested there among the Ilocano people on the northern tip of the Philippines. While we were in Hawaii, we also went to Micronesia. Those are small island states south east of Guam, and a ton of Filipinos there too. And I knew Filipinos there who were working, and we planted a church in Chuuk, Micronesia. However, because of the China kind of a power surge, a lot of Filipinos were not renewed their visa, and so they had to go home. And so these people from Micronesia became our seed group for our church planting in that heart-shaped island in the central part of the Philippines. And so in the island of Panay, in Estancia, we have now, let's see, a ton of children there. And we now have the Parola Community Baptist Mission, almost a church. Now, because some pastors get candid with me, they don't see that I'm also American. And so they talk and said, American missionaries, they teach church planting modules, and we're done with the seminars. We want them to see how to plant a church from grounds up. Well, my ears perk up, and I said, okay, stand by, I'll show you. I planted churches in Hawaii, I can do it here. What the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, and I fell flat on my face. I couldn't do it. This is where my father was born, Iloilo City, which is a colorful place of the most colorful, in my opinion, tribal festival in the Philippines. It's also a seat of idolatry. So if you want to worship the gods of Rome and Greece, then you go to the town square. If you want to worship the Christian idols, then you go to the Christian church, so-called Christian church. Well, I was doing church planting here, trying to show the Filipinos how to do church planting. My neighbors were running away from me. Children were literally running away from me. And I couldn't figure out why I was being treated with contempt. And so I started with my water man. Well, in the Philippines, you cannot drink from the tap. You have to order water to drink or even to take a bath in it if you're rich enough to afford that. And so I work with my water man, Bobby. So object lesson is very important in the mission field, especially if they have very little knowledge of Bible, story, and the gospel. So I said, Bobby, I'll buy water from you, but I can give you the spring of living water, which is the gospel, of course, Jesus Christ. And he grasped that idea. Bobby, however, is known as the town drunk. As you can see, mark the difference. Before he got saved, look at him. Because he drinks so much, he passed out and he would be black and blue on the side of the face and he would not even remember. And when he got saved, look at the difference. He got a big smile. Well, two of his wives, left him because of his drinking problem, but because the children gravitate to him because he's fun. And so my wife said, it's not a lost cause, because after I told the neighbors, now I have Bobby. You know Bobby, you come to our Bible study, you seem to avoid me then. Now I got Bobby, you know Bobby. They said, no, we're not gonna attend your Bible study because you have the town drunk. He is so unpredictable. And so my wife and Justine says, this is not a lost cause. We're going to teach Bobby's children and their close friends how to speak English in order that they would advance in school. And so using the Bible as their curriculum, they learn about Moses and Elijah and Samson and Delilah and David and Goliath and Jesus and the gospel, and they were getting saved. In the process, while my daughter was presenting the gospel, she got convicted and she got saved. Now, that really floored me. I said, Justine, you got saved in Hawaii, remember? And I baptized you in the Pacific Ocean. People even have to watch for sharks when you baptize there, And Justine said, Dad, but I wasn't saved. Well, we interviewed you. Well, I kind of know what the answers, because I grew up in church, but I wasn't saved. But this time I truly want Jesus. And so she got saved and I baptized her for the first time scripturally in the sea in Iloilo City. And so if people don't like the story about Bobby, I say, this is Justine. She got saved. Now, I still have a problem, because besides Bobby's children, the children were still running away from me like I have leprosy. Well, this is the boy named King, because he's very influential in the neighborhood. The children follow him. But he would run away from me even with a bag of crackers. I said, King, come, you're hungry. They only eat in their home one meal a day. That's all they can afford. And so King decided, oh, I am really hungry. But he's a human trafficker. So that was why they were running away from me, because I was the rumored human trafficker. And so he said, but he doesn't fit the profile of a human trafficker. He doesn't even have a car. According to the story, he would abduct kids and stuff them in his vehicle. Where would he put me, in the front basket or the back basket? So he came. Object lesson again. King, I got food for your stomach and food for your soul. And I shared to him the bread of life, Jesus. He has never been to a sit-down restaurant and he didn't know what to do with a plate. Is this a sombrero or what? But anyway, he got filled in his body and in his soul. And then he said, I got to bring my brother, my big brother, Floyd. And Floyd came, but I'm in front of him, and the hard wall behind him, and he's got a stance like he would do Taekwondo. His hair standing up. He's got a scowl. But I said, I know, Floyd, you're hungry. I got food for your stomach and food for your soul. You're not going to regret it. And he got it because there was a hunger in both in his body and in his spirit. And you know, after he got saved, look, his hair came down. His cowl turned into a smile. And then he said, I got to invite my basketball buddies. So I think he's only one set of clothes. He's still wearing the same clothes, but still smiling, the new smile that he has. He brought his basketball buddies, and they got saved and got baptized together. And so the boy's father said, what is going on with the boys in our neighborhood? They're changing. They're still goofy, but they're better. So they came to the Bible study, and he and his wife and daughter also got saved. Not long after that, he stood up before our Bible study group and said, I need to apologize to my wife because I've been cheating on her. I'm going to leave my mistress immediately. And so no wonder they could only eat one meal a day because he's funneling his income to the mistress to make her happy. Now it's done. And then he apologized to me and said, I need to apologize to Mr. Kakilala because I am the one who started the rumor that he's a human trafficker. And it is wrong. I couldn't get mad at him because he just got saved. But anyway, well, there's a lot of homelessness in the Philippines, but some people don't even realize that they're really homeless with just a lean-to of a plywood or something like that. Sometimes they raise a family in that little shack. But there's a boy that you cannot avoid because he sleeps on the stairway by to the front of the store. So you kind of have to step over him. And the Lord said, well, you've seen this boy before. Take care of him. Well, he's sleeping. But when he was awake, because, you know, they are so tired at night, fending for themselves, and then at the day they pass out. But when they're hungry, they're ready to beg for alms. Well, the Lord said, take care of him. So I said, okay, I got food for your stomach. I got food for your soul. Let's go into the restaurant. And the guard said, mm-mm. He's smelly and stinky and, you know, all that. And he's not good for our customers. I said, no, we'll find a place way at the back. You won't see us. But you know, the object lesson once again worked for Jonard, and he got saved, and God said, don't leave him like this. Take care of him. He said, oh, no, I'm not an orphanage, no. He said, take care of him. It's amazing what a clean set of clothes, a good shower, and food for your stomach could do to your self-esteem. Now that he's got Jesus, he wants to catch up with his peers, and so he's now enrolled in a GED program. But I have to teach him reading, writing, and arithmetic. But he's very sharp. He caught up very fast. But he's got to go home. He's got to go home. Oh, I don't want to raise another. You know, see, I got an attitude. The Lord was dealing with me. And he's got to go home. But his father, he's running away from his father because he's a drunk. And when he gets drunk, his favorite target is Jonard. And he would beat him with a belt, not with a strap, but with a buckle. And so he was afraid. But one day his father fell to his death. He was a construction worker in a high-rise building and fell to his death. Sad story. During the funeral, Jonard would not even come because he was still afraid of a dead person. Well, the mother said, you're safe, come home. And he came home. As a result, he brought his siblings to church, and many of them have come to know Jesus except for the little ones. So the teen brings siblings to Christ just like the boys brought their family and their friends to Christ. Now, this is another story where the young girls brought their parents to Sunday school. They have not heard a lot of the Bible story because They haven't been to church. And so their intellectual level were the same as the little children. And so they got saved like little children. But the parents said, oh, but we're the parents. We got to be a good example. We've been living together and they are already grown and we're not married. Well, Lynn said, oh, well, great. But I'm not getting married unless I have a bling bling. Well, that's a problem because Aris did not have a good job. It will take him a year to raise some money for a bling bling. So Lisa said, well, open my jewelry box and let her pick out what she wants from there. And she found someone or something that we bought from Walmart with three diamondettes. And they got married. And as a result, you know, we got a whole family intact for the Lord. That's how neighbors bring their neighbors to Christ in the mission field. It's not the missionary. Just like bowling, it's not the ball that makes the strike. It's other pins knocking down other pins. Families bring other families to Christ. Friends bring friends to Christ. And as a result, we grew from one, you know, like the scarlet letter, the alcoholic. We have become a nice group of congregation like this. It's coming back though, even with COVID, the congregation is coming back. Now this is a prayer request. It's about hydrocephalus, which my wife has. It's a condition where a person can produce a lot of fluid in the brain. This may be more common with infants. But adults get it too, not as commonly as little children, but because adults don't have the skull that can accommodate, you know, expand the skull, you have an amazing amount of headache. And so Lisa had to have a shunt. It's a magnetic shunt. And in the Philippines, she got very sick, and the technology for this specific magnetic shunt is not available. In the Philippines, you got the metal detectors. You go to the mall, at the airport, or anywhere where they have a wand, or this field where you go through a, you know, like a gate. And that could change the setting. So the neurologist said, or the neurosurgeon, she better stay in Conway where help is just down the street from Baptist Health where we live. And so as a result, she has to stay here in Conway, in Arkansas, while I go back and forth. Well, that changed. I was fully funded before. Now I have to raise support for the work. And so that's a prayer request. So please remember us in your prayer. Now, let me close with a challenge from the Bible, where we read from the story where Jesus appeared before his disciples. They did not recognize him at first, so as he walked by the shore on the Sea of Tiberias, also the Sea of Galilee, he hollered at them and said, "Children, have you any meat?" Based on verse 5. In 1984, there was a Wendy's commercial where three ladies were examining a big fluffy hamburger bun. And when they opened it up, they saw a teeny-weeny hamburger patty inside. And so Clara Peller, who's on the phone, was complaining and said, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef?" And so that became the slogan for Wendy's for a few years. Well, it appears that we may have that zinger right here, where Jesus said, "Children, have you any meat?" This gives us a glimpse that the disciples were younger men, not older men like me, but they were probably homemakers. And he said, not disrespectfully, but he said, "Boys on the job, did you catch some fish?" And they said, "No." "Seasoned fishermen and caught nothing." Well, what seems to be the problem here? They fished all night and did not even catch a single goldfish. Well, do you think the problem was the fishing boat? I don't think so. The fishing boat built to ply the shore, you know, the sea and cross the Sea of Galilee were sturdy because it's known for unannounced storms. Remember when Jesus walked on the sea and they were afraid that they will drown, but the boat survived that turbulent storm. They were sturdy boat built to outlast any violent storms. And this fishing boat was probably inherited from their fathers who were also seasoned fishermen. The boat did not break up. It's not the boat that's the problem. Well, it's symbolic of the church. Well, some people will say, well, we have not had baptisms in a long time because we have a lousy church. We have a lousy program. We don't have a good staff at our church. Ladies and gentlemen, you're barking up the wrong, well, that's not the problem. You see, the doctrines of the New Testament church are perfect right here, the Bible. The foundation of the church is perfect, Jesus Christ, who said upon this rock, talking about himself, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so when Jesus walked on the shore and said, young man, did you catch me some fish? He used the word in Greek that can be a substitute for fish or any protein. In this case, because of context, he was asking for fish. Did you catch me some fish? During the shores of time, the question that Jesus will be asking us is not, how much money do you have in the bank? How many diplomas do you have on your wall or trophies on your shelf? How many likes do you have on your Facebook post? But it will be the question, did you bring me some fish for the kingdom? Souls for my kingdom. And we say, well, it's not my problem. It's the church's problem, but it's not. What seems to be the problem? Do you think the problem might be the fishing net? No. The problem was not the fishing net. The net is symbolic of the gospel of Christ. You see, when I rejected the gospel at first, it's not the gospel's fault. It's my attitude in my heart. Like, I don't need that. Until I really needed it when I realized I was going to hell not having Jesus. I heard the gospel and I was willing to be caught. The fishing net is symbolic of the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The reason we're not catching any fish is because we're not sharing the gospel message. Children, have you any fish? It's not the boat, it's not the net. Then what's the problem? Do you think it was the fishing hole? The Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee was a supplier of fish during the Roman Empire. It's still stocked full of fish even today. Plenty of fish. Oh, Brother Kakilala, I could be like you if I go to the Philippines and catch some fish. Stop. I went across the ocean to the other side of the world looking for lost fish, only to realize she was in my home. A heathen was living in my home, my daughter. And I ignored that fact. Your fishing hole is right where you are. It's right where you go to work, your school, your office, even in your church, in your home, like in my case. Children, do you have any fish? Well, it's not the boat, it's not the net, it's not the fishing hole. Maybe it's the fishing time. They fish all night, remember? Well, fishing with a net, the best time to fish is at nighttime. In the Philippines, the horizon of the sea is dotted with lamps with no sun to compete for the light. You light your torches and you have a circle of light where the fish are attracted to. You cast your net and draw them. Quite effective, by the way. Do you know that the best time to fish is anytime, 24/7? Saul of Tarsus was saved at noontime. The Philippian jailer in the book of Acts was saved in midnight. Some of you might have been saved during Sunday school hour in the morning. I was saved doing my homework in the evening. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes, don't blame COVID. Don't blame because I haven't been to seminary or because I don't have time right now. anytime is a good time to fish. So what is the problem? By deduction, if it's not the boat, it's not the net, it's not the fishing hole, it's not the fishing time, then they must be the fishermen. Well, let's unmask their identity. Who were they? First of all, the Bible says there was Simon Peter. Who was Simon Peter? He denied the Lord three times, but he also went back fishing. He probably thought, well, they crucified people for preaching the gospel. I'm going to go fishing. And the disciple says, we're going with you. Don't underestimate your influence. If you come to church, you'll bring some people with you. If you drop out of church, you'll also take out some people with you. And Peter was a backslider. No wonder they could not catch a fish because someone loved the world more than the Lord. Who else was in the boat? Thomas was in the boat. We learned in Sunday school that his other name was Doubting Thomas. When Jesus appeared before his disciples after his resurrection, they told him, Tom, guess who came to Sunday school? And Tom said, well, who? Jesus came to church. And Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and feel his side where they pierce him, I will not believe. No wonder they could not catch any fish because the doubter was on the boat. The backslider was on the boat. Who else was on the boat? Nathanael, his other name, Bartholomew. Philip came to him and said, Nate, guess who we met today? Nathanael probably scratched his head. Who? As he was pondering by under the tree, he said, they told him, we met Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. Nathanael, with his acid tongue, said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? No wonder they could not catch a fish because the criticizer was on the boat. The critic was on the boat. The negative person was on the boat. Do you know the tongue of criticism has destroyed marriages and friendship, churches and denominations, because what could anything come out of an acid tongue? Nathanael was in the boat. So Peter, Thomas, Bartholomew or Nathanael, and then we have James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. Well, they're probably braggarts. You know, they don't have the lightning, the power of the lightning, but they have the sound of thunder. They were braggarts. They're loud. They're show off. When Jesus told the disciples before he was even arrested, he said, you know, I'm going to be executed. They're going to arrest me. I'm going to be executed. I'm going to die on the cross, but I'm going to rise again from the dead and enter into my kingdom. James and John, who were power greedy, glory seekers, they said, when you enter into your kingdom, can you make us sit on the left and on the right of your throne? They were glory seekers. They want the credit for themselves. So Jesus said, children, do you have any fish? Nothing. Because the backslider was on the boat. The doubter on the boat. The critic on the boat. The glory seeker was on the boat. Now, the Bible says there were seven fishermen. Five were revealed their identities by the Holy Spirit. But do you even wonder why the Holy Spirit did not reveal the identities of the two? Before we blame our deacon and our preacher, even our parents or our friends, do you know that the two disciples were you and I? You say, oh, but we were not there. Spiritually speaking, this is a timeless story. We were on that boat. Think about that. What are we contributing or not contributing to the ministry of the Lord's work? Jesus is asking, follow me. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Chinese proverb said, if you want to be happy for
for a lifetime, learn to fish. If you want to be happy and make the Lord happy for all eternity, follow Christ and he will make you fishers of men. Do you even know Jesus? You cannot catch any fish for the Lord, any soul, if you yourself have not been caught by the gospel of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this challenge, for we have a mission field right here. We pray that you help our heart to be burned within us with a message that we cannot contain, that we have to share it with others. For people are perishing. For you will ask us, where's the fish? And it will be so embarrassing if we say no, for we are glory seekers, we are doubters, we are backsliders, we are criticizers. Help us, Lord, to be followers instead. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.